Truth Revolution.
Welcome to Truth Revolution. This is where faith and reason meet. I'm Pastor Dave. That's Pastor Jeff. And we're from Revolution Church in Salina, Kansas.
Thanks for listening to the Revolution radio show, Truth Revolution. We're glad that you're joining us today. Hey, if I don't make sense today, it's because I've had pneumonia.
Right. And that's never good. Seriously.
And so I'm going to try to make as much sense as I possibly can. Today we're talking about something that people get wrong. We're talking about how you treat people when they wrong you. Normally we do scientific stuff, logic, philosophy, science, astronomy. Today we're going theology, and we're talking about something that's very important. We want to, on this show, show people that Christianity is reasonable, that you can come to faith without losing your brains.
Absolutely.
One thing, though, that a lot of people get wrong is they say, well, you know, I can't come to a church because of the way people treated me in a church of the past, or because I'm afraid of the way people are going to treat me. Mm-hmm. Well, what we want to show today is how people should be treating each other.
Absolutely.
And how our church should be treating people. So this is really important. We're, of course, going to answer a Bible contradiction. Thank you for sharing this on social media. Everybody who does that, you make a big difference. Thank you for sharing it with your friends and your family members, tagging people. Thank you for those of you sending questions and comments. I love all of you. Love your questions. So it's good to hear from you. All right. When I was in junior high, I had a friend named Marcus.
Okay.
Did you have any friends when you were in junior high?
I'm trying to think back that far. I'm sure I did.
All right. Well, I had a friend named Marcus who he was kind of the class clown. Mm-hmm. He's always joking around, messing around. And kids started making fun of him in gym class.
Right.
He'd whip him with towels and tease him. And he had just gotten to the point where he was done with it. Well, one day, I see him walking around the halls with a bunch of friends, mad looking. And they're walking down the hall. I walk up to him like, hey, Marcus, what's up, man? And in my memory, and I don't know if this is something I put on it later or this is in my memory, though. I walk up to him and I kind of hit him on the side like friends do. I'm like, what's up, Marcus? I hit him and there was something really hard and metallic where I hit. I was like, what? What's going on? What was that? And he's like, nothing. He just walks away. Well, later on that day, the faculty comes and gets him and takes him away. The police took him. Mm-hmm. He had brought a gun to school.
Wow.
And he was either planning on threatening or shooting some of these kids who'd mess with him. Now, how do you handle your enemies? I mean, hopefully you don't plan on shooting them, right? That's not obviously what we want to do. But today's quote, what we're going to do, has something to do with treating our enemies how God wants us to treat them, and how religious people had often treated their enemies the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
This is Matthew chapter 5, right? Jesus is talking, verse 43. This is what Jesus says.
You have heard it said, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy.
Right, makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. Good people should love their neighbors, and of course you hate your enemy, right? We hate ISIS. People do, like, they're going to kill us.
Right.
What am I supposed to do? Put my arm around? Well, actually, this quote is from the Bible. It's quote, Jesus is quoting his contemporaries, people with him, who were quoting the Bible. Mm-hmm. So when people said, love your neighbor, hate your enemy, they were quoting scripture. It's actually Leviticus 19. Let's read this.
It says, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord.
Okay, so that was the Old Testament. That was thousands of years before Jesus. And Jesus comes and he says, hey, you guys have been saying this, right? Love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But if you put on your listening ears for a minute, did you hear a phrase that got changed in that? The people are saying, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. They're quoting scripture.
Mm-hmm.
But they actually changed what the scripture had said.
Right. Well, it says, do not revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people. So basically, is it that they are including one of your people and love your neighbor as yourself, but left everything else out? Is that wiggle room?
Well, totally, we're going to go there. That's definitely where they're going to go. But there's something even sneakier or even more obvious.
Okay.
Leviticus 19 says, love your neighbor as yourself. So people started quoting the Bible, right? Their scriptures. This is during Jesus' time. People would say, love your neighbor as yourself. But they added something, right? They added, love your neighbor and hate your enemy.
Oof.
Jesus starts out by saying, right, you've heard it said, okay, because this is what everybody says, love your neighbor, hate your enemy, which is a common quote from 2,000 years ago, but they twisted it. They changed it. And this is what we often do to scripture. We change it from love your neighbor to love your neighbor and hate your enemy.
Right.
I was playing baseball with my brother Matt when we were little kids, right, and my friend Robbie. I hit Matt in the head with the baseball bat.
What?
On accident. On accident. He was playing catcher. I swung the bat, comes all the way around, just bam, hits him in the head, bursts, blood's going everywhere. I'm in the van going to the hospital. I see this gaping wound in my brother's head. This stuff's hanging down. And I say, what is that? And my mom says, well, this is a disagreement again on our memory. I remember one thing. She says she never would have said this, but I remember her going, that's his brains.
Oh, no. All right.
Now, she would say, you heard me wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm probably not taking her words the right way. Right. She probably said, those are veins. I don't know.
Right.
But the point is, there was a fundamental disagreement about what was said versus what is real. Likewise, Jesus is telling these people there's a fundamental disagreement about what was said and what is real. See, the Pharisees, those religious people, were taking the Bible verse, love your neighbor as yourself, mm-hmm, and they knock off the as yourself.
Right.
It's not love your neighbor as yourself. It's just love your neighbor. And then they add to it and hate your enemy. I mean, Dave, will you go back one page? Just go, mm-hmm, back to that Leviticus 19, mm-hmm, 18, right, and read the verse that the Jewish people should have been living by.
Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord.
Okay. Although we all agree bringing a gun to school is the wrong choice, mm-hmm, right? It's we sometimes think, like, it's okay to let your enemy squirm a bit if they're in trouble, right? Come on.
Well, there's a certain earthly minds, there's a certain satisfaction that comes with that, making your enemy squirm.
Yeah. I mean, right, someone pushes you up against the locker in junior high, mm-hmm, and then they walk down the hallway and trip,
right,
and fall.
Yeah, that's satisfying.
You're, right, going to be a little happy, yeah, about that, right, situation, right? But it's, you know, the Jewish Pharisees, these religious people, they had a saying, and it was this.
It says,
If a Jew
sees a Gentile fall into the sea, sorry about that, let him by no means lift him out. For it is written, thou shalt not rise up against the blood of thy neighbor. But this man is not thy neighbor. I see what they did there.
You see what they did?
Mm-hmm.
They're like, well, there's Jews and Gentiles. We're the Jews. And if you see a Gentile fall into the ocean, well, you don't have to help him.
Right.
Because we're supposed to love our neighbor, but he's not my neighbor.
Right, he lives way over there, right?
That's
and he's not even a part of our community.
So they actually would say it was okay to let your enemy drown and die. Oof. Because you don't have to love them. You just be satisfied that your enemy got what they deserve. That was the era they lived in, and it's honestly not much different than our lifetime.
Absolutely.
One look at Facebook tells us that.
Yeah.
Just we disguise it better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I don't even know if that's true. I mean, because you can read between the lines, right?
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
Who is your enemy? Who drives you nuts? Obviously, you wouldn't want to drown them. That's too obvious for you. What do we? Right. We cover up our hatred with a little bit of like Christian niceness, all right?
Yeah.
Which is the same thing they did. You know, they took some truth and they mixed it with some lies. Truth. Scripture says, love your neighbor. Half truth. That guy over there doesn't technically live beside me.
Right.
Truth. That guy over there has wronged me and hurt me. Half truth. Anyone who acts like that can't possibly be a follower of God.
Oh, right.
Conclusion, I don't have to love that jerk. Right? That's not... Okay, the boss who makes you work unpaid overtime. The family member who shirks the responsibilities. The guy who stole your money. The people who made fun of you. The terrorist who frightened you.
Right.
They all deserve exactly what they get. You have enemies, you have people that drive you nuts, and the natural inclination is to say the same thing as the Pharisees did 2,000 years ago. Love your neighbor, but protect yourself. Hate your enemy.
Right.
Hate your enemy. Not overtly, but just enough to piss him off.
Right.
Jesus doesn't accept that.
Absolutely.
Jesus doesn't accept hate your enemy just enough, you know, just enough to piss them off or just enough to make them mad. And I was, pardon my French, but like this is what we do secretly in our hearts. Look at the first part of Matthew 5:44. This is Jesus talking.
But I tell you.
Okay, right there. Mm-hmm. He says, but I tell you. He's going to give you a new word. Something equal to scripture and greater than your stupid little trick interpretations, right, of what God wants for you. Your half-truths are worth nothing compared to what Jesus is going to give you now.
Right. A truth mixed with a challenge to make the true but less palatable. But I tell you, love your enemies. And pray for those who persecute you.
Ouch. Read it again. This is Jesus. Whole quote.
love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you.
Jesus teaches we have to love our enemy.
Right.
The first phrase, love your neighbor, hate your enemies, is truth mixed with a lie to make it more palatable to people. But this phrase, wow, Jesus turns around, gives it a kick in the butt, makes it way less palatable. Do you feel that?
Right, yeah.
Do you feel that, Dave? He just kicked your butt.
Absolutely. And one thing that I want to point out there, you know, we can consider other people our enemies that don't even live near us, like clear over across the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think here is kind of like, love your enemies, and then Jesus dials down even more. Pray for those who persecute you, those mm-hmm. who actually in your vicinity and giving you grief.
Mm, totally.
Yeah.
He takes the Old Testament verse that was a little bit cryptic. Like it's, hey, don't take revenge on your people. You know, love them as you love yourself. And it's a little bit cryptic and people ripped it apart and messed it up. And he takes it and he says, you know what? Enough of this. Enough of this shredding of the truth. I'm going to tell you point blank what I mean. Love your enemy. Not just your neighbor, but your enemy.
Right.
When Jesus said that, it probably startled his audience.
You think?
Yeah. I mean, we've heard things like this in our culture. We've heard Jesus say that before. Probably everybody who hears this has heard this phrase, so mm-hmm. it's not as startling, but it would have startled people when he said
it. Right. It was a total shift.
Yeah. Love the person who perpetrated against you. Nurture anyone who wounds you. Give another chance to the person who's failed you 1,000 times and enjoy giving them another chance.
Right.
Like those things are actually too easy. Jesus says, love your enemy. Not just nurture someone who wounds you, but love them when you do it. Like, have affection for the guy who beats up your kid.
Right. Wow, that's a hard one.
Be compassionate because you love the person who steals your car at gunpoint.
What are you asking?
Care about them so much that you forgive and are be willing to kiss the person who's about to murder you.
Dude.
And some people are like, that's not possible. But there was a guy named George Weishart. Mm-hmm. He lived in the 1500s. Okay? He was a preacher at Dundee. And people attempted to kill him a number of times. He preached against the heresies of the Catholic Church at that time. And so he would go from home to home visiting and helping people who were dying of the plague. And he prayed, and apparently some of these people were actually healed. And it was said that when he would preach, those who were sick would feel happy again.
Right.
Well, the Catholic cardinal ordered a priest to kill this man who helped people, prayed for people, bound their wounds. So priests went up with a dagger to stab him, but Weishart grabbed the dagger just in time. And the priest fell down terrified. A lot of people rushed in and they wanted to grab the priest and put him to death, but Weishart wouldn't let them do it.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Eventually, he was arrested and ordered to be killed. Listen to this. They fastened a noose around his neck. They put bags of gunpowder strapped to his body
what?
And sticks around him to burn him to death. They lit some of the sticks, which caused some of the gunpowder to spark and burn his flesh. Mm-hmm. The hangman, who saw this, was overcome because he knew of the good things that Weishart had done. And he comes to Weishart. He says, forgive me. And Weishart told the hangman to come. He kissed him on the cheek and said, this kiss is the sign that I forgive you.
Wow.
And then he was burned to death while hanging. That's hardcore, right?
Absolutely.
And we have a hard time dealing with a guy in the office who doesn't refill the coffee pot.
Right?
For real? Seriously?
That makes you mad.
Jesus says, love your enemy, right? I cannot exaggerate this.
Right.
Note the word for love is the word agape. Agape is not just emotional attachment. It includes an action,
mm-hmm.
a decision to love someone all the way, no matter what. It's a verb. You can feel it, but you have to do something about it.
Right.
We're going to talk a little bit about that word love and what it applies when we get on the other side of the show. We're also going to answer the Bible contradiction. You also have to come out to Revolution Church. Dave, when do we meet?
We meet on Sundays at 10, 11:30, and then 5 p.m.
That's right. And this show is originally broadcast May 2017. Mm-hmm. So if you're listening to it at a different time, our service times may have changed.
Right. Always check the website, which is rebel.church.
Rebel.church and our radio show's website is truthrevolution.tv. If you'd like past shows, more information, ask a question, harass us.
Harass him, not me.
Truthrevolution.tv. I love some of the guys who harass me. Richard, I love you, man.
Right on.
All right. So anyway,
putting it into practice.
We'll be right back.
Do you know, or are you, a woman between 18 and 22 aging out of foster care or without a place to live?
If your goal is to continue your education, whether it's a college degree or GED, the Hope House may be the place for you.
Located in Salina, Kansas, Hope House is a beautiful home, providing not only a place to live, but a place to grow.
As a program of the Ashby House, Hope House provides dedicated volunteers and staff members who are there to help you accomplish your goals.
If this sounds like it might be a place for you or someone you know, please visit HopeHouseKS.org.
That's HopeHouseKS.org.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
Why is God referred to as merciful when in the Old Testament he was constantly destroying people?
We have to look at the facts, and then let's come to the conclusion about whether God's merciful or not.
Fact number one, God is our judge.
Humans are judged by judges on a regular basis. It's fair. We call it the justice system.
That word justice implies punishing wrongdoers, and God is our judge in the cosmic justice system.
Fact number two, the Bible never depicts God as doling out destruction against people without first giving them chances to repent.
If you read the Israelite history in Egypt, you'll find that God waited
400 years
before finally using Israel to execute judgment on many of the nations.
Fact number three, even when punishment was pronounced, there are plenty of instances of God stopping the penalty if someone just asked for mercy.
Put those together, a judge who waits 400 years to judge and won't punish if someone just asked for forgiveness.
That sounds pretty merciful to me.
TruthRevolution.tv. Why should you go to church?
You know, Jesus said we should be the church.
But before then, the word church was used for business meetings. If you were there, you're part of the church because you were doing the work.
Jesus didn't say, hey everyone, show up for an hour and hang out.
Not at all. He said, be my church.
Meaning, if you follow me, you should get together with other people who follow me and work together. So church is us coming together to do God's work together.
www.revo.church.
That's REVO.church.
Do you love Truth Revolution?
Of course they do, Dave.
Well, if you do, or...
Or if you appreciate the fact that thousands of people are being taught that Christianity is compatible with science and logic.
Or if you simply love the fact that we hear from people often who say, this show changed my life, I love Jesus.
Then consider a donation.
You can visit TruthRevolution.tv or Revolution Church and donate.
We don't get paid from this show.
But it's our goal to give truth, give knowledge, give encouragement.
And your giving keeps all of our giving going.
Why should you go to church? Part 2.
You probably have a lot of people in your life who you care about and they care about you.
But imagine that relationship being God-focused. Not just talking theoretically about them once in a while, but seriously.
Both of you loving God more, asking each other, hey, what did you learn last week? And challenging each other because you know that you can both be what God wants you to be.
That's part of what churches do.
Come on out to Revolution Church.
www.revo.church.
That's REVO.church.
Truth Revolution.
And we're back talking about sacrificial love today.
Yeah, that's a good word for it.
The way we should love our enemies and pray for those who persecute you.
That's right. Jesus says, you've heard it was said, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to tell you, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. That's right. A big, big difference.
It is, absolutely. And it's like, you think, well, let's just go ahead and take it one step further. And I think that Jesus... made this to be one of those things where it just doesn't go one step further. This goes like 1,000 steps further. You know what I mean? And we should do follow that because you don't know what somebody's mindset is. You know what I mean? You don't know whether they're saved. You don't know whether they even hate you for real. Mm-hmm. Why do they hate you? Mm-hmm. You know, there's reasons behind everything.
Yeah. So. And when he says love your enemy, love your enemy, love the person who wants to hurt you or has wounded your child, or love the person who, what does it mean? What is love? How is love defined? And we're going to define love the way the Bible defines love. Mm-hmm. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 13.
Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres.
So apply those to your enemy.
Whoa.
Love is patient. So you need to be patient with your enemy. Mm-hmm. Love is kind. You need to be kind to your enemy. Don't envy your enemy. Don't boast about him, right? Even protect your enemy. It gets down there, right? Like yeah. It says, love protects, love hopes, love perseveres. It does not delight in evil. So it's not saying just be cool with the bad stuff they've done,
right?
But love that person despite the bad stuff they've done, right? Is it keeps no record of rights and wrong, or mm-hmm. keeps no record of wrongs. No, this is not just generic enemies, but people who persecute you, Jesus says. That's purposely harm you for who you are. They hate you, and Jesus says, love them, be patient with them, be kind to them, do not envy them, do not boast about them, don't be proud around them, do not be rude to them, do not be self-seeking in your relationship with them, do not be easily angered by them, keep no record of wrongs about them, do not delight in their evil, but rejoice with the truth for their benefit, because you love them.
Amen.
Protect, trust, hope, persevere. Like, why would Jesus do this? Why would Jesus tell us to do this? Well, he tells us why.
He says that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and unrighteous.
That was Matthew 5:45, right? Mm-hmm. This is crazy. According to Jesus, who happens to know a lot about spiritual matters, by the way.
Right, you think?
According to Jesus, there is a strong connection between loving your enemy and being a child of God. Mm-hmm. If you love your enemy, you will be allowed to be a child of God. He says, love your neighbor, love your enemy, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Right. There's a lot of pop psychiatrists saying things like, forgive so that people don't have power over you. Whatever, Dr. Phil. Now, it's not what the Bible says.
How do you really feel there?
Right? There's no, or like, you know, people post this on Facebook all the time, like, you know, and to some extent, I agree with this saying, but it says, you know, not forgiving someone is allowing someone to live rent-free in your brain, right. You know, and to bug you. Like, and that's kind of true, but like, we don't just forgive so that they get out of right. my head.
That shouldn't be the end all of everything.
No, I'm forgiving you to set you free.
Right.
So that you owe me nothing. Because I love you. Even if you're my enemy. The weird thing, those pop psychologist statements do have a little bit of truth, but there's deeper things than just forgive so they don't have power over you. No, forgive right. because you love them, because you want to be a child of God, and God sends his rain on the good people and the bad people. He forgives.
Right.
He loves them even when they're cursing his name. The verse 44 and 45a says, but I tell you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven.
Right. And you know, it's true. I mean, when we add a little bit of truth to the lie, it makes it sound true.
Mm-hmm.
But it is still a lie.
It is still a lie. All right. You know what we should do?
Bible contradiction.
We should do a Bible contradiction.
Bible contradiction.
I think I was starting to figure you out, Jeff, after 5 years. All right, Bible contradiction from infidels.org. How many Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount?
How many Beatitudes?
Mm-hmm. Matthew 5 lists 9. Should I go through them all?
No, they're just they're like the blessed right. are the poor in spirit. Right. Blessed are those who mourn, for they'll be comforted. All those
Luke
things.
6, on the other hand, lists 4. This is a downright contradiction.
Well, what do we do when the book of Matthew says, Jesus said, blessed are these people, and lists nine of them. Mm-hmm. And Luke lists only 4. What, I mean, well, we're going to use our cracked acronym as we always do because it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And this has got to be the easiest Bible contradiction we've ever answered.
Okay.
The second C stands for?
Credibility.
Okay. If I tell you, President Trump said he likes person A, B, C, and D.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone else comes and says, President Trump said he likes persons A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and H, and whatever. I can't right. do my alphabet right now. I'm too tired. Have we contradicted each other?
No.
No. Unless I say, President Trump only likes persons A, B, C, and D, and there are no other persons right. he likes. But that's not what I said. And that's not what Matthew chapter 9 or Luke chapter or Matthew chapter 5 or Luke chapter 6 says.
Right.
They just say, hey, Jesus said, blessed are these people. Luke lists 4 of them. Matthew lists
9
of them. Mm-hmm. Maybe Jesus said 20 of them.
That's true. That means that both of these are wrong, right?
No.
According to that psychology.
Someone who's recording history
mm-hmm.
can record as much of the speech or as little of the speech as they right. want. Now, if Matthew said, okay, Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. And Luke says, Jesus says, Not blessed are the poor in spirit.
Right.
Now, that would be a contradiction.
Yeah.
But simply having a list with different number, different amount of blessings in the list.
Mm, but they're all basically the same.
Yeah. I mean, right. Come on, man. This is newspaper articles quote are present all the time. Some of them quote 1,000 words. Some of them quote 500 words. That's not a contradiction in any way, shape, or form.
Bible contradiction.
All right. We set them up and knock them down.
That was from infidels.org. So they set them up.
That's true. They set them up. We knock them down. Thanks, Jeff.
Just trying to help you out.
Yeah.
All right. So what is the consequence of not loving your enemy the way Christ told us to? Well, let's think about this for a minute. Matthew chapter 5, 45 says this.
Says he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous.
Okay, so this is what God is doing. God is sending the sun and the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. He says we should do it. Matthew 5:44. Love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. The consequence of failing to love your enemy is a deterioration of your relationship with God.
Right.
Because you are no longer attempting to be like God. You are just being like the devil, who hates his enemies.
Right.
Who hates us. God is indiscriminate in his generosity.
Amen.
He does not hold back. He is even kind to those who curse him. Now, the day is going to come where he's not kind to those who curse him anymore. Right. But right now, he's being patient, and he's waiting for you to give your life to him. You cannot earn your way to heaven. You cannot do good deeds and think that will get you there. The only way to earn God's forgiveness is by accepting the forgiveness that Jesus offers. And it's not something you even earn. I said that wrong, but it's something that Jesus offers, and you can merely accept it or reject it. Jesus paid for your sins on the cross. He died for your sins. You can accept that he already paid that bill or not. If you do accept it, then your sins are wiped away. You are completely debt-free to God. And he gives you the righteousness of Christ. He sees all the good things that Jesus did as though you did them.
Right. And not only that, I mean, it's not like Jesus is trying to hide that gift either. He's putting it right in the middle of your chest. All you got to do is just take it.
That's right.
You know?
And then once we take it, and we say, I'm now a follower of Jesus, then we have to offer the forgiveness and love that God gave us to other people.
Amen.
How can I be a person who I rejected God's forgiveness, and previously I lived whatever I wanted and did whatever I wanted, and maybe I thought I was a good person, and maybe I thought God was cool with me, but I know that's not true, and I just live my own way, and though I'm rejecting God, he loved me and offered me forgiveness and died on my behalf. Jesus did. And then how can I accept the fact that he died for me when I was cursing him? And then not love someone else when they curse me.
Right.
That's just idiotic.
And hypocritical.
And hypocritical. Right. I want you to listen to this crazy verse. Like this verse, and a lot of times people ask, like, why are all these crazy rules in the Old Testament? Mm-hmm. Or you have these things called shadows and types, right? The Old Testament laws and rules were there to show us something bigger. Don't eat bacon. Why not eat bacon? Well, God was teaching them about cleanliness. And now in the New Testament, we know that's cleanliness from sin. Right. We don't want to involve ourselves in sin. And so there's all these shadows and types and examples. Well, here's another one.
Deuteronomy 22, 6 through 7. If you come across a bird's nest beside the road, either in a tree or on the ground, and the mother is sitting on the young or on her eggs, do not take the mother with the young. You may take the young, but be sure to let the mother go so that it may go well with you and you may have a long life.
God even regulated laws regarding how many birds you can take. You had to leave the mother so she could breed again.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Clark's commentary says that she found new freedom and liberty. Only a cruel-hearted person would damn a free creature to captivity.
Right.
In other words, she knew freedom. You cannot take her and put her in a cage. You think God is really caring that much about the birds? I mean, he does, but what is this really about? God even cares about the tiny bird, and he made a law to regulate them, with life as a consequence. So if that's the case, you better believe that God cares deeply for the human beings
Amen.
Who you consider an enemy. If God loves the birds stinking enough to make a law about it, it's very true that God sends rain to grow the food to feed your enemy. God sends rain and sun for your enemy. And you should love your enemy too.
Amen.
And treat them the way God treats them. All right, this is Truth Revolution, Revolution Church. Thanks for listening. Get out to truthrevolution.tv and come on out to church at Revolution.